This guy's no dummy. That is just nuts. You know, they got to lay off the clam chowder. Why would anybody think that? His team just won 3 damn straight division titles. All in, baby. It's a hell of a time to be a Buck fan. Speaking of mold, if you're thinking you might have a little issue there, call Florida's Elite Restoration. It's not something that you can let go. It'll turn a small problem into a major renovation project. Nobody wants that. Call Florida's Elite Restoration.
Sage, as the tropical storm threatened Florida and our area, but kind of blew away and is now wreaking havoc up the East Coast, it's just a reminder that disasters of all kinds can happen at any time, and Florida's Elite Restoration is your place to handle these things for you and make sure things get done right, make sure these claims get paid. Florida'sElitereStoration.com is the website to get information, and they're there 24/7. They will respond 24/7. You got to call them first. Our buddy Josh Martin over there is ready. Great local company, Bucks fans, to help fans and the Sage whenever there is a problem, any kind of disaster in your home.
All in, baby. It's a hell of a time to be a Buck fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, August is here, and the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is all fired up. Football is just 40 days away from opening day, and now we get to hear from the king of Pasco County, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, Uncle Ira himself, Ira Kaufman, on the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. Sage, how are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. Hey, it's a start. It's a start, Steve. You start with a little conditioning. You start with a little stretch here and there. A shot of Bruce Arians in a golf cart. We're still a couple of weeks away from pads. So what my buddy Lee DeKemper likes to call underwear football is in full throttle at One Buck Place. Limited media access. Lee, I've never seen so much hype about a quarterback throwing to a receiver who isn't covered. And with no pass rush. This is coverage reminiscent of the Pentagon Papers over here, Lee. Every nook and cranny is being dissected. And, Lee, that's what happens when Tom Brady's in the house, right? That's just the way it is.
Well, I refer our listeners under 60 years old. You might want to tip them off what the Pentagon Papers is. Yay, welcome to the NFL in 2020. You know, the NFL is the biggest thing in the Western world for a reason. And people just, they have to have it. They want it now. Fans devour whatever morsel's thrown at them, like rabid dogs, like Diacosmo.
and Steve, you know, every day seems to bring more and more players who are opting out for health reasons. And the good news, as we are recording this podcast, is that is not the case at One Buck Place. We're still not quite sure about the intentions of Donovan Smith until I hear it directly from Donovan Smith. But, Steve, so far, no opt-outs at One Buck.
No opt-outs, Ira. And, frankly, I think the opt-outs are a little bit overblown. There are 2,500 players in these training camps. How many have opted out? 40? 50?
Yeah.
That's not a lot of players, Ira, if you really break it down.
That's like 2%. You're absolutely right, Steve.
You know, and
it's
I think
players who opt out, not the number, but the players. For example, the Broncos lost their starting right tackle, and they're planning on young quarterback Drew Locke starting this year. That's not going to help.
Yeah. New England seems to have been hit hard. And, of course, you know, look, we're well familiar with the New England media. They still can't get over the loss of Brady. Brady's departure is a pebble in their shoe. They can't believe it, especially that he went to a quote backwater like Tampa. And Steve, they're trying to figure out why 6 or 7 Patriots have decided to sit out the 2020 season. Some of them are suggesting it's some kind of a grand plan from Belichick to dump the season. I've never heard more nonsense in my life.
Oh,
you think Bill Belichick right now, 5 weeks before the season opener, is thinking his team's going to go 4-12? That is just nuts. Why would anybody think that?
Ira, you want to hear about, we touched on previously, arrogance out of the Boston media, and like you referred to, people up north calling Tampa a backwater town kind of thing. Well, I was listening to I forgot the name, and it's not really that important, but a beat writer for the Patriots was on SiriusXM NFL Radio and was asked about the Patriots and their 8 opt-outs. 8, it's up to. And her contention was that, well, you know, Bill Belichick, he's very focused on bringing in very intelligent players. And intelligent players realize that it's dangerous, and that's why he has more opt-outs than other teams. It's not part of some sort of football conspiracy. It's just that the players are smarter, and she combines that with, you know, so many Patriots have won rings that they've already achieved their NFL goals. Therefore, you know, more of them are likely to opt out. It was just so such an arrogant take. I didn't even know what to say.
You know, they got to lay off the clam chowder, Lee, and the lobster rolls up there. It's going to their head. And of course, Lee, what's the implication? The other 31 teams don't have players that are as intelligent as the ones that are working out of Foxborough. I mean, like Steve says, Lee, the arrogance up there in New England, it's hard to over-exaggerate it.
Who's one of the smartest guys in the NFL, if you believe the hype? Who's one of the smartest guys in the NFL?
You tell me.
Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
I don't see him opting out, and he's in his 40s. You know, the older you get, the more risk you take with this virus.
He opted out of the whole Patriots organization.
Well, yeah, exactly. Pat Kerwin sums up best about the guys that are opting out. He's far and away, Kerwin said, the guys that are opting out are bubble guys.
Interesting.
Yeah, so you're guaranteed to get cash. If you're a bubble guy, you don't know if you have a job, so go ahead and opt out. You're guaranteed to get cash. And then next year, you can still try to get a job.
That's right, and especially this season, it hurts the bubble guys more than anyone. Steve, the lack of preseason games, no OTAs, you've got a very narrow window, Steve, to make an impact and get a roster spot.
Well, look at it this way. The Buccaneers have already had a few guys get cut already. You know, bottom of the roster moves that we would never talk about, but a guy who was in camp last year, a receiver, Spencer Schnell, he was already cut. Now, if before he was cut, he said, hey, I'm opting out, he'd have a big check in his hand and could worry about it next year. But, I bet you a lot of bottom of the roster guys in the next few days before Thursday's important deadline for opt-outs, you're going to see some guys walk away and just take that money, buy a car, and worry about the rest later. All right, Ira, Bill Curry Ford, they present all of your work at JoeBucksFan.com. And I have learned, Ira, that they've got a very special, two special things going on right now. One, there are still some 2019s laying around at Bill Curry Ford. 2019 brand new vehicles, and they are having just an amazing blowout sale right now on those remaining vehicles. Prices, I didn't even think it was real when I looked at the website, BillCurryFord.com. These will not last. 2019s, it's August. You know how this goes. And also, they are buying cars now in a big way, so they are paying top dollar, as always, but even more top dollar for your car, your truck, your van, any kind of running condition, even if it's not running, 2004 and newer, go to BillCurryFord.com right now. You can get an instant quote. You can also get one at JoeBucksFan.com. We have a link. So, Ira, the family service always continues at Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan is there for every Bucks fan, ready with an Ira Kaufman discount and all of his personal help in any way he can. He'll help you any way in your life that he can. That's just the kind of guy Sean is. BillCurryFord.com. Get after it today. All right, Ira. Now, listen. Fans are at the edge of their seats. They're seeing pictures now. They've seen them on our website, all over Twitter, wherever, social media. The Bucks are back on the field. But, you know, it's very cryptic, Ira, very cryptic. The Buccaneers opened practice for 30 minutes to the media for the first time at 7:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And you know what? The media watched guys stretch for about 15 minutes, and then they saw them basically just run around a little bit, throw a few passes, no helmets, no pads, no uniforms, nothing, not even matching outfits for about 15 minutes, and that's it. The Bucs could have left that open for quite a while, let everybody just stay there for the rest of the practice, but it wasn't happening, Ira. They're keeping everything under wraps. There were only 23 offensive players on the field, I was told, no linemen. Very quiet, very cryptic. They don't want a lot out there, I guess. What's the reasoning?
I wouldn't read too much into it, Steve. I don't think this kind of protocol is singled out by the Tampa Bay Bucks. I think you'll find 31 other teams are operating kind of in the same manner. We've said it before. This is a camp unlike any other in the Bucks, you know, 45-year history. And it's going to be a season like no other in the NFL's 100-year history. Lee, you bring 23 players out at a time for health reasons. You add a second locker room, even though the Bucks locker room is enormous, for health reasons, for precautions. And that's just the way it is. I don't think it has anything to do, Lee, with subterfuge. And the Bucks don't. The Bucks don't want anybody reporting on these exotic formations that they're going to use with Tom Brady. Heck, Lee, we're 2 weeks away from pads going on. There's nothing going on at one Buck place except a little stretching and trying to get guys in shape. You know, I know Steve likes to look under every rock, and that's what we love about him. He's got that healthy skepticism and always wants to know what's really going on over there. Lee, I haven't heard any reports of what Coach Arians was doing today. I would like to know, because I've been saying...
No coaches on the field, Ira. No coaches allowed during this conditioning phase.
Well, he is going to have to change his regimen once this initial phase is over, and so is Tom Moore. Those guys have to think about themselves, and who can argue otherwise? So, Lee, there's not going to be much going on at One Buck Place until the pads come on, and then it's a rush, you know, to September 13th to get ready for the Saints. And speaking of the Saints, Lee, people are going crazy over Cam Jordan. Oh, he's talking trash. How could he say all these things? I discussed it on TV last night with Mr. Roy Cummings. Lee, maybe
Who?
I'm wrong.
Who?
Maybe I'm wrong, Lee, but I said this is one of the great non-stories. It tells you that we're in the dog days of August, Lee. There's nothing going on. Cam Jordan said absolutely nothing that he shouldn't have. What's he supposed to say? The Bucks are the team to beat in the NFC South? His team just won 3 damn straight division titles. Is he supposed to say that Brady has been a better quarterback than Drew Brees? No. So let's get over some of these things that are non-stories and keep our eye on the prize, Mr. DeKemper.
As far as those practices go, and I've read so many things, I'm just glossing over them at this point, protocols and all this stuff. I could have swore I read where only X amount of players are allowed on a practice field at one time, like in the 20s. I could be dead wrong. I could have swore I saw that. Technically, this isn't even underwear football. Underwear football, they wear helmets. That's all they wear, but it's helmets. And this is just shorts and T-shirts. It's like, dude, you know, Brady was wearing a helmet at Berkeley Prep. They're not even doing that. But I want to see Bruce Arians in his golf cart wearing a World War One gas mask or a hazmat suit. That's what I want to see.
Steve, he's looking for a face shield that he can be comfortable with. You got a 1-800 number that Arians can call, Steve?
I don't know, but I bet the Glazers have some of those laying around after watching all those home games for years and years, all that losing.
I still don't know how one of the members of the Glazer family didn't pull a Bobby Knight and just wing a freaking chair out of the owner's box onto the field. I mean, it was an out-and-out disgrace. The football they put out there.
You know, Steve, speaking of the Glazers, Steve, and I was thinking about this the other day, and I can't remember the year. I'm thinking maybe it was 2012, 2013, something like that. And the NFL annual meetings, which are in March, and I can't remember if this one happened to be in Florida or Arizona, but I do remember as a representative of the Tribune being at a meeting, we get our 10, 15 minutes with Joel Glazer. And at that time, the Bucks were very small participants in free agency, and it was the beginning of a long string of dreadful seasons. And when I brought up free agency with Joel Glazer, at that time, he kept saying, you know, very rarely do the teams that make waves in the off season do anything in the fall. It doesn't work. We tend to be strategic. We don't want to be overboard. At the time, I thought he was kind of referring to the Redskins, maybe a couple of other organizations that were more heavily involved in free agency. And Steve, now, 7 years, 8 years later, the Bucks are the kings of the offseason. Of course, led by Brady, Gronkowski. Now you got Shady McCoy, well in their 30s, in one case in their 40s. And guys, there used to be a time not long ago when you looked at the Buck roster, 53 players, and you were hard pressed, Steve, to find more than two or three that were 30 years old or older. This has been a total upheaval of philosophy at one Buck place. I don't think it's a terrible thing, because after 12 years of non-relevance, you're at your end of your rope, Steve. You try whatever you can.
Ira, what do you make of Tom Brady at this little training session? He's out there, again, no uniform, no helmet, but he's out there conditioning, and he's wearing, on his left forearm, he's wearing his Rolodex play sheet. I've never seen a guy go out for conditioning running around with his play sheet on.
Well, he is learning a new offense, but you saw my story on Ron Jaworski. And one of the, you know, Jaworski had a couple of great lines. He said, Brady changes the weather. I think that's a good way to encapsulate his shockwaves that he sends through the locker room. But he also talked about the influence that Brady's going to have on this Buck offense. And we've talked about it a lot on our podcast. People are taking it to heart that, well, we can't teach these other 10 offensive players a new offense. Lee, guess what? It's going to be a new offense. It's not going to be totally Tom Brady, but it's going to be an awful lot of what Tom Brady likes. And anybody who thinks otherwise, Lee, is just being naive.
That's true, but I believe what Arian said, and the more you think about it, the more it makes sense. You know, your offense was humming last year, so why change it? Why have all these guys who are doing really well? It's the proverbial don't fix something that's not broken. Now, of course, you got rid of the guy who led the NFL in passing, but you're getting Brady. So I understand why Arian said that. It makes sense. And, you know, every offense has just about, if it's a decent offense, has just about every kind of play imaginable. The things that you were going to see Brady run this year that we didn't see last year, you know, passes to the running back, things of that nature. If we don't believe that wasn't part, if that play was not in the playbook last year, that's naive, to say the least. That's highest rank of naivete, whether you don't believe James could throw those, or whether you believe Arians didn't want to throw those, or Winston, whatever, but those plays were in the playbook. They're just, you know, it's same play, it's the same playbook, different flavor. Brady's the different flavor.
Steve, if you boil down coaching to its essence, isn't it kind of rule one, put your players in the best position to be successful and structure your playbook to the strengths and weaknesses of your roster? And Steve, the fact remains, I mean, you know, Brady and Winston are two very different quarterbacks. Winston does some things better than Brady. He does. But overall, 41 giveaways are not acceptable for an offense. No matter how many yards and points they scored, put the defense in a lot of bad positions. Steve, this offense is going to be structured around the likes and dislikes of Tom Brady, and that's just the way it is.
Ira, you know what? If the Bucks do that, if Brady's the one heavy on the structure, and the Bucks are doing what you said they should, which is structure the offense around their talents, then they're going to throw the ball for an NFL record amount of times, because that's just what this roster would dictate. So that's what I'm really curious to see, is
Steve, there'll be a different kind of throws. There'll be different kinds of
that's
throws.
Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to address what Lee said about limited players on the field. There has been so much written about what the rules are. I think the limits that they had talked about, like 20, 20 players on a field or 22, whatever it was. The Bucks have three or four fields available at $1. So, you know, I still think it's odd that they're separating the guys like they are and didn't let the media see more, Ira. But I'm going to look into what other teams are doing as far as letting the media who gets out there first thing in the morning to actually watch the whole thing. You know, the top secret running and conditioning that's going on.
Hey, guys, with an older roster than we're used to seeing around here, especially at some key positions, Lee, you think Arians and his coaching staff would be more inclined than ever before to use the indoor facility during camp?
You would think so, that, you know, these guys, the wear and tear catches up with them a lot quicker. I'll give people a reminder. Chucky's last year with the Bucks, 2008. Look how that team collapsed in the last month, beginning with that debacle in Carolina on Monday night. The age of that team was ancient, and that's why they collapsed. Everybody went, oh, Monday Griffin, even though they knew about it. I still can't buy that. I still can't buy that, especially when the team knew about it in August. You know, that team collapsed because they were old, and it showed in the last month of the season.
Steve, how do you balance getting ready to play home games in September in sultry weather and try to condition in that regard, Steve, with you know, acknowledgments that you got a veteran roster that that might need a break in August?
They're getting the break right now, Ira. I mean, come on, how much more are we supposed to baby this? They put on the pads August 17th, let them go hard for 2 weeks, and then you dial it back. And ease into the regular season. I don't think there's really any other way to do it. I mean, it's August 4th. They're just running around, jogging around like little kids at a summer camp. Come on. All right, Ira, not everyone can get to the Big Storm Brewing Company tap rooms in Clearwater and in Odessa, but they can drink Big Storm beer, Florida's best craft beer, and they can find it at bigstormbrewery.com or right at joebucksfan.com. They can click on the Storm Tracker to see where it's sold in their neighborhood. The Arcus Southern Pale Ale is fantastic. I keep getting referred to that one by a lot of readers. Of course, we love the Bromosa Tangerine IPA, the Key Lime Shandy. There are so many core beers, the classic and the original, the Wavemaker Amber Ale. Get to bigstormbrewery.com, and you can follow them on Facebook. They have all their fantastic food specials out there. Remember, they will deliver. Just fantastic. Ira will be at the Big Storm Brewing Company Clearwater Tap Room all through the season. We'll have the schedule out soon. And of course, he'll be their opening day where you can watch Bucks games and their huge outdoor, brand new covered area. What a great setup for football. Big Storm Brewing Company, it's the way to go.
Big Storm beer, Big Storm food. They are both fantastic.
Let me throw this past you. This is a very Bucks kind of thing, you know. What matters to getting to the Super Bowl, massive component, is winning the division, right? Huge leg up if you can win your division instead of playing from the wild card.
And a guaranteed home game, Steve, guaranteed.
The home game, a potential for a bye, even though only one team will get a bye this year. But you want to win the division. And Shaq Barrett was very clear the other day talking to the Sage and the rest of the unwashed media on Zoom. First, he said, we didn't have no chance in those games against the Saints, which, you know, he felt it was adamant that the team wasn't competitive against New Orleans. Yep. Yep. And then he went on to say that, you know, that it's critical for them and he's going to miss preseason games because that's where you correct mistakes. Of course, if you don't have the preseason games, he said you got to practice harder. You got to be more intense in practice. You got to better correct those mistakes within a game. And, of course, the Bucks can't afford many mistakes against New Orleans.
You know, whatever Shaq Barrett did, Lee, whatever Shaq Barrett did last August to prepare himself for the 2019 season, it worked to perfection. Because when that season started, and I've said it and I'll say it again, perhaps the greatest opening month by a defensive player in the history of this league. Now, that is a whale of a statement, Lee. We don't know what the hell a guy did in 1944 on the old Rams team or whatever.
No, but we don't, but you do.
Can you do better than 9 sacks and 3 forced fumbles? in the first four games, it's hard to do.
That's pretty impressive.
That's why
I never did that.
Lee, one of the things that jumped out at me about Shaq Barrett, by the way, he's a very sharp guy, Barrett. This guy's no dummy. Very well-spoken, kind of a deep thinker, I thought. When I asked him if he would take 12 sacks, I'll give you 12 sacks, Shaq. You going to take it? And he kind of suggested, well, that would have to be if the season's cut short and I got 12 sacks. That's the kind of confidence I like. But, Lee, something he said about those Saints games, and I think it's important for our listeners to understand this. He said they weren't competitive. But yet, Steve, I'm not sure about the final scores of those games, but wasn't one of those games ended up being like a 7 or 8 point margin? I can't remember, but might have been.
The first game.
No, New Orleans.
The first game against New Orleans was on the road. The Bucs lost by 7, but they scored a touchdown with about 19 seconds left, a garbage time kind of situation. So it wasn't that close, and of course, it featured my favorite bang-your-head-against-the-wall play of the season, where Jameis Winston comes out, opening drive, throws an interception when he's targeting Scotty Miller, and it gets called back because Jameis was called for delay of game. I mean, you just can't beat that.
It ended up being a 7-point margin, and that's the fallacy sometimes of looking at the final score and saying a play here or play there. According to one of the best Buck players on this roster, he never felt the Bucs were in that game. They weren't competitive. So, Lee, you got to be careful with that final margin because there's always that garbage touchdown that makes it closer than it should be. He didn't think once that game started that they gave themselves a chance to win, and that's what's important.
I was at that game. They weren't in that game. I mean, the score suggests they were. They weren't.
Ira, I want to call your attention to a new statistic, and I'm going to send you some links. I want you to watch them because I think it's an interesting stat. It's brand new, and the NFL is pumping the hell out of it, and I'm sure we're going to see more of it this year with on NFL.com and maybe even in games. But, you know, they have these next-gen stats, and the next-gen stats are all computer-generated based on sensors in balls and uniforms, that kind of thing. So it's clean. The stats are clean, in my opinion. They don't involve, you know, some guy who's eating Cheetos while he's evaluating at the same time. And this new next-gen stat evaluates running backs, and as soon as they take the handoff, okay, everything is frozen, and the spacing and the gapping and the distance, everything's evaluated based on set metrics, and it's determined how many yards the player should gain on that play as soon as he takes the handoff. And then they chart how many yards the guy actually gets to determine whether he exceeded expectations or, and they went through all of last year with this stat, and the number one in the league, the best back in the league in that realm is Dalvin Cook. And there were some interesting names on there. No Buccaneers. And I thought one interesting name on there is number 9 in the league was Leonard Fournette, a guy that we learned before the draft that the Buccaneers could have had. And for me, looking at that, the whole list, you know, it's another way of bringing up the Buccaneers' evaluation of running backs. LeSean McCoy is the guy that they've decided, you know, can help, yet there are other ones out there. What is your overall faith that they're going to get it right this time and have the right plays to maximize these running backs, whatever their maximizing capability is?
Well, I think an important part of an effective run offense is to have a kind of a bread and butter play that you have a lot of faith in, that the guys up front can get the job done. And Lee, I think the biggest reason for confidence about the 2020 Buck running game is not about LeSean McCoy, and not even necessarily the improvement of Ronald Jones to read the holes. I think with Wirfs, who will go through his growing pains, I think particularly as a pass protector early in the season, But with Wirfs and when Gronkowski's on the field, and if he lines up on the right side off Wirfs' right shoulder, Lee, if you can't run the ball off right tackle with Wirfs and Gronkowski leading the way, I mean, you might as well fold your tent. Gronkowski, and it's a reason he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, besides being a great pass catching tight end. But there's been other great pass catching tight ends. You know, is he a better pass catcher than Jason Witten? Maybe not. But the guy's a ferocious blocker, Lee. His physicality's off the charts. He's a willing blocker. And a lot of tight ends are not. You don't hear that much about Travis Kelce as a blocker, but you do hear it about George Kittle, and that's why most people have Kittle number one at that spot. He's a willing and very physical blocker. If you can't run the ball behind Wirfs and Gronkowski, well, what the hell you got over there? That would be an utter failure to me.
You sound like you've been listening to Pat Kerwin, Ira. Kerwin said the running game is going to be better because of Wirfs and Gronkowski. And, hey, look, I like Wirfs like the next Bucks fan. But can I at least see him play a quarter in the NFL before I automatically anoint him as the next great right tackle, the next Dan Dierdorf? I hope he's great. I hope he's good. I hope he's starting for the next 12 years. But hope, I hate that word because it means nothing. Hope is what? It's nothing.
It's supposed to be his forte, Lee.
Supposed to be. How many dudes have been drafted? They're supposed to do X, Y, and Z. And right. Next thing you know, they're bagging groceries at Publix. I like the guy. I like that they drafted him. But I haven't seen him in the, he's not blocking anybody from Nebraska anymore.
And but having said that,
they're gone.
Having said that, Steve, we know for a fact for watching the guy over the years that Damar Dotson, I think, was a subpar run blocker. That's just a fact.
Arians came out and said it last year before the season. He said that Dotson really can't run block, but he thought that was okay because he was a strong pass blocker. Look, they're looking for a major upgrade there in the running game, but this brings me, Ira, to one of your friends, the guys that you love to say his name. You're obsessed with the man, so of course I have to listen to him at all times because I need to understand the sage at all levels. And I was listening to Dante Scarnecchia over the weekend, the retired legendary Patriots offensive line coach who was there for 30-something years.
Steve, you're not allowed. Steve, you're not allowed to quote anybody whose name you can't spell. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, Ira. Well, Scarnecchia, who's in his 70s, one thing I thought that was neat is that even though he retired after last season, Bill Belichick wouldn't let him out the door until he evaluated 50 linemen in the draft and had his full breakdown of those linemen, which I thought was kind of interesting. So he didn't really retire until after the draft. But anyway, Dante Scarnecchia was talking about evaluating new tackles, right tackles, left tackles. He was thinking about Nate Solder, specifically with the Giants, his former player. But he also was talking about the new tackle, the rookie that the Giants took number 4 overall, Andrew Thomas, a guy that a lot of people thought the Bucs might end up drafting to play right tackle. Anyway, Scarnecchia said, while it's always painful for every rookie tackle, as he said, especially in this type of season, he said his first question would be, who is the guy playing next to him? Who's the guard that inevitably is going to have to instinctively correct the rookie or tell the rookie what to do or answer questions from the rookie on the fly when the ball's going to be snapped in 10 seconds? And so that got me thinking, which I hadn't thought in that direction, Alex Kappa. Is Alex Kappa up to the task for what Tristan Wirfs might need?
That's an interesting take on offensive line play. You know, Lee, I don't think it's audacious or crazy to think that suppose Wirfs is struggling a little bit early in the season. Instead of replacing Wirfs with Joe Haig, who has very limited experience as a right tackle in this league, maybe you put Haig at right guard if Kappa's not getting the job done, Lee, and at least Wirfs would have an experienced voice next to him. I don't think they're in a hurry to replace Kappa, who I thought was okay last season, first full year as a starter. But I think that's a possibility to enhance the development of Worf if he's struggling a little bit, Lee.
I thought you were going to jump on your favorite soapbox, politicking for Kappa to go to tackle again.
Well, I think that ship sailed now with Worf. I think they're all in on Worf.
You're the only person I know that screams that Kappa is a tackle, not a guard. That's your pet beef.
It is, mostly because, you know, he's 6'6". But, Steve, maybe there's a place for Joe Haig here. I mean, he's got starting experience, left guard, right guard, a little right tackle. If Kappa's not getting the job done at right guard, they have an option there.
All right, Ira. Well, I just wanted to run that past you. I thought it was an interesting one-liner from one of your heroes, Dante Scarnecchia, and yes, I do know how to spell it. Okay, Ira, have you been watching much baseball? And I don't ask you that because of your baseball knowledge. I'm asking because I want to know what you think of the fake crowd noise that they're pumping in. I think it's been very subtle. I actually kind of like it, and I almost think it's a given now for football, but what do you think?
I'm with you on that, Steve. I think they're using it in the proper way. It's not over the top. I think the NFL will take its cue. Look, there's already been, Lee, several NFL venues that have already come out and said that there's not going to be any fans in 2020. And they didn't say in the first 2 weeks of 2020. They said the whole season. And I think Allegiant Stadium, you think Mark Davis doesn't want fans in his, you know, $2 billion toy over there? Of course he does. But you can't go against government regulations. And I don't think the NFL would think twice, Lee, about doing what baseball's doing. As long as it's kind of on the subtle side, I don't have a problem with it.
I would love for there not to be any fake crowd noise. But that ain't going to happen. Unfortunately, I know how retentive advertisers are to anything faintest whiff of maybe offending the most triggered people. They hate that. So there is absolutely no way all the corporate advertisers the NFL has, and Fox, and CBS, etc., ABC, and Disney, no way they're going to have no crowd noise, and you get to hear players cussing like drunken sailors on mushrooms. and Bruce Arians screaming four-letter words upon four-letter words. There's absolutely no way they're going to let that go. Not even factoring in the FCC. Forget the FCC. There is no advertiser that wants to be associated with Bruce Arians saying MF for every 3 seconds, not 3 minutes, 3 seconds. And that's right. Just the tip of the iceberg. That's not here it dies, you know, at get cut or kicked in the midsection. I would pay to hear that. I would absolutely, positively pay $50 a game just to hear that. But we'll never hear it. Fake crowd noise. It's sad, but it's the reality of the 21st century.
All right, Ira, wanted to throw this past you as well, just because I thought it was funny and odd. But maybe it's not odd, as your 97 years experience in the NFL might be able to tell me otherwise. I'm listening to John Gruden's news conference the other day. Great entertainment. And he's asked about getting his defense ready and changes with new personnel, new Rod Marinelli coming in to whip up the defensive line. He's asked about getting them ready. And Gruden drops, we're going to be throwing all these different formations at him and all sorts of angles to try to get him up to speed fast, because we're going to be facing Tom Brady and he's going to be up in the tempo on us. They don't play Tom Brady until late October. What NFL coach, unless it's in his head in some sort of psychotic fashion, what NFL coach isn't referencing opening day or division rivals, but he's instead referencing Tom Brady and the Bucks?
I think it's absolutely fantastic. Lee, if I had to bet, I would say Ed Glazer has watched that video 27 times. 27. And you said it before, Lee. You said it the other day. You can't ask to be on the national radar more than the Bucks have been since mid-March. It's a freaking miracle. Nobody used to talk about this team in the offseason. let alone during the season, for the last 12 years. They've been a non-factor, irrelevant, a doormat, national appearances only because they were mandatory and obligatory for the NFL schedule maker. That's all changed. Now, look, they got to go out and win 10, 11 games to back it up, and there's no guarantee that's going to happen. But, Lee, here we are 4 months, almost 5 months later, and they're still talking about Tom Brady and the Bucs, and like Steve says, they don't play the Bucs in week one. They don't play the Bucs in week three. It'll be midseason before Tom Brady comes strolling into Vegas. Lee, the Bucs are on everybody's mind. Cam Jordan, John Gruden, the Glazers, Peter King, and anybody that's got any kind of microphone is talking about this franchise. That's already a win-win, Lee.
Well, I think it's amusing to hear that the Bucs are in Chucky's head already.
I don't think they're ever far from it. I really don't. He has not forgotten what happened January, or was it February of 2009. He's never going to forget it.
What I think is funny, Ira, is Bruce Arians did his news conference. He's wearing a mask. He's in a room at one buck. Gruden, he's got no mask on, and he's not doing Zoom. He's got everybody on a conference call, and they're screaming to get their questions in. And he's on camera, though, being viewed. Totally different kind of news conference. And he's getting all worked up. He doesn't like one guy's volume. You see his face because one guy came in louder than the rest. And the guy's insane, and it's July.
Say what you will, Lee. And, the jury's out for some people about Gruden as an NFL coach. He barely finished with a .500 record in Tampa. I mean, that's a fact. But they did hoist the Vince Lombardi trophy, and that's a fact. So you got to weigh that in. I think he's a pretty good coach. I don't think he's great because he meddles too much in personnel issues. But Lee, on the charisma chart, if there is such one, he's at the top. I mean, Arians is good. Some other guys are good. The old Mike Ditkas of the world, and playoffs. Playoffs? I mean, this is a great soundbite, but it's hard to beat Gruden for entertainment value, Lee, and he hasn't lost that in his move out to Vegas.
Oh, no. I mean, that's why he was so good on TV. I think you're right, Ira. Outside of possibly Arians, I can't think of a coach that has the charisma like Chucky. And, of course, our listeners, 99% of our listeners, are punching their windshields. They don't give a damn about charisma. They care about wins. They would take boring Lovie Smith, who was about as exciting as 20-year-old wallpaper. They would take him if he was winning. They don't give a flip about charisma, about his magnetism on TV, his personality. They don't give a crap about that, and understandably so.
Steve, suppose the Raiders go 6-10 in that beautiful new stadium this season. Look, Raider fans don't know anything about John Gruden in the last, 15, 16, 17 seasons doing anything for the Raiders. The last they saw, Tom Brady was getting stripped by the ball in a snowstorm, and it didn't work out. And that was the last game Chucky coached for the Raiders. And, that was 2001 season. So if he has another bad year with the Raiders and a new generation of fans that have come along since 2001. I mean, he did have some success his first stint with the Oakland Raiders. That's two decades ago. You got to wonder, Steve, if they would turn on Chucky after this season if they have a losing record.
Well, sure. I think any 7-9 team that takes a step back with a third-year coach, I mean, barring a problem, nobody's immune to that, even if it's Gruden with a long-term contract. Nobody's immune. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a running game. He's got as much pressure as anybody else, except he's not going to lose his job. So maybe the pressure is a little bit different.
Now, Ira, you talk about, Chucky's got a long memory and he's still hacked off about getting fired by the Glazer family. And by the way, Chucky, get over it. I mean, Paul Brown got fired. Give me a break. You're not Paul Brown. Give it up. Calm down, Chucky. About his long memory, Steve obviously brought up that He's already talking about Tom Brady. He's not playing Tom Brady till the end of October. You think Chucky still in the forefront of his mind remembers how they got hosed against the Patriots, where that, you know, Brady was strip sacked and they overturned it? You think that's still in Chucky's mind?
That's possible. And of course, that came before Tom Brady was Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, 2 weeks later, the guy won a Super Bowl, his first. You know, Steve, one more point about what you brought up about Gruden mentioning Tom Brady in terms of we better have our defense in shape. You know what makes it even more crazy, Steve? He could have and should have said Pat Mahomes. He didn't say Pat Mahomes, who they play twice every freaking season. But for the next 10 years, if Mahomes doesn't get hurt, and they happen to be Super Bowl champs, and he happens to be ranked the number four player in the NFL by his fellow players, and some people don't think that's high enough. They think he should be number one. Steve, he didn't say Patrick Mahomes. He said Brady. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely, Ira. And last thing, Sage, your columns, of course, appear at joebucksfan.com. Everybody can find them there. The written word of the Sage is sometimes as exciting as the spoken word, although maybe not as entertaining. But anyway, Ira's columns are there, presented by Bill Curry Ford. And you can start shopping immediately at BillCurryFord.com. Get all the deals there from our good friend Sean Sullivan, all the family service from Tampa's first family of Ford. Ira, one of your columns recently was about the talent of the Bucks. Now, we talked about this, and you framed it in the mindset of, hey, Bruce Arians, you're loaded with talent. You got your legacy on the line here. No excuses. We talked about that, but I thought interesting to back it up, coming right out a couple days later, Maurice Jones-Drew at NFL.com did an analysis of NFL rosters to determine the most talented rosters. And this was after the Shady McCoy deal. And Jones-Drew ranked the Bucs the number fourth most talented team in the NFL. Except he had the Saints at number one and the Falcons at a surprise number three, which sort of speaks to the challenge facing the Bucs, but also the fact that the talent is there and there's no excuses.
What the hell is Maurice Jones-Drew looking at and seeing with the Atlanta Falcons? I mean, yeah, they got Julio Jones. They got Matt Ryan. You know, they have Todd Gurley, who has yet to prove that he's the Todd Gurley of before. They don't have a lot of standout defensive players, in my mind. I love Deion Jones as a linebacker. I think he's the guy that Devin White should aspire to be. Same kind of quickness. You know, what else do they have? I mean, they got a couple of guys in the secondary. I don't see a pass rush with the Falcons. I don't see an offensive line with the Falcons. I don't necessarily see a tight end with the Falcons. I don't know what he's looking at, but the number four roster, Lee, when's the last time in terms of pure talent on a 53-man roster that the Bucs would even crack the top 10 or 15? They've accumulated some players, Lee. There's no question about it. How long it will last? Not very long. Brady, Gronkowski, Sue, JPP, Levante David. These guys are not going to be here 5 years from now. But let's enjoy the ride, Lee, while we have it.
You were starting to sound like Martin Luther King there, Ira. How long? Not long.
All in, baby. It's a hell of a time to be a Buck fan.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Bucks fans, because I hate to say it, but it won't be this way a year from now, I don't think.
You know, Steve, one thing that I think we tend to gloss over, and I think it's going to be a factor going forward. On the D-line, Steve, Vita Vea, really, he's the only youth there that's done anything in this league. The rest are that word potential. What else do they have up front in terms of young developing players? It's going to be a problem, Steve.
Well, Sage, first, I think you're undervaluing the Falcons' talent, but that's why they play the games. And I still look at Shaq Barrett as a young talent, Ira, 27 years old. I still look
well, at... Well, they listed him at linebacker, Steve. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
I got you, Ira. You can't have the depth everywhere, but Ira, you have the talent and the depth area yourself. That's why you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports. As fans, look at these pictures, Ira, from Bucks practicing, and there's an excellent video on our website now, Ira, of Tom Brady coaching up the tight ends. You can see him getting after Cam Brate, and then they're all standing around watching, and then Gronk joins in. I think this is the kind of stuff that Bucks fans have been just drooling thinking about, even though it's just a little throwing session. But Ira, what kind of wisdom should the fans have as we get closer toward real practices and, of course, just 40 days from opening day?
The anticipation is unbelievable. I mean, for example, I go in yesterday at about 6:15 to my local Chinese takeout place. I got a mask on. And I'm picking up my lo mein and my steamed shrimp dumplings, gentlemen, which were delicious. And I go in, and I had called before, and I go in and pay. And I got a mask on. And I'm walking out with the bag, and some guy's getting out of his truck. He's got a mask on. He's going in to get his stuff. And I got the mask covering almost all my face, and the guy's walking in and says, "What's going on, Sage? What's going on? I'm so excited about the Bucks season. I never miss a podcast. You guys do a fantastic job." And, you know, the guy's going in for a happy family, and he recognizes the Sage. How great is that, Lee?
I remember that one time I walked out of Publix in Spring Hill, and I forget the guy's name. I apologize. He works in real estate. McGraw, I think, was his last name. We used to go back and forth on Twitter. You had called me, and I was literally walking out of Publix, and this guy was maybe about 20 feet behind me. All of a sudden, he started like, "Hey, Joe Bucks fan. He overheard me talking to you, and he put two and two together. He recognized my voice, and I don't know if you remember, Ira, I put you on the phone. I said, "Hey, say hi to Ira," and I handed my phone over to him.
Absolutely. You know, Steve, the guy could have been thinking about his Moogoo Guy pen, and instead he's thinking about Joe Bucks fan. The Sage, and why? Because of the excitement that Tom Brady has brought to Tampa. Let's hope he stays healthy, guys. If he doesn't, all bets are off. It would be an excuse for Jason Light, an excuse for Bruce Arians, an excuse for the franchise. If he's healthy, no excuses. Wins, baby, wins.
I got an old one for you, Iron. Forget this guy's name as well. It's not Javier, but last spring, or winter, I should say, at the Pro Bowl in Orlando. And I went there a couple days, you know, to get some interviews. And I was walking along where the media area was, and this guy was working security. And he comes up to me and goes, "You're a Joe Bucks fan, right?" And I was like, "Well, usually my reaction is, it depends."
That's,
you know,
right.
The guy doesn't like me. I'm not with Joe Bucks. No. And he's like, "Hey, I listen to Ira's podcast all the time. You guys are great. Ira, there's no question you are a star."
Thank you, gentlemen. And Steve, remember that when the next pay envelope is due. Remember that, Steven?